Hello and welcome to Lifetime on Court, the podcast where we discuss your favorite made-for-TV movies. Whether you love to hate watch or hate yourself for loving them, pour up a glass of your favorite cocktail and join us. I am your host, Patrick Serrano, and my guests today are...
I am Drew Current.
And I am David Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got David Bush up in here.
So David Bush is here. For those of you who do not know, David Bush is the director and writer of a movie we covered on the podcast last spring called Did I Kill My Mother?
Did I Kill My Mother?
Yes. No, she didn't kill her mother. Yeah, and Spoiler alert.
It turned out she didn't. She was worried about it, but then didn't actually do it.
Right. Not only
did she not kill her there, she never had any moment of doubt as to whether or not she killed her.
Right. Yeah. It's a common fear, you know, spiders, killing your mother, whatever. So, David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. Doing great. How about you guys?
Good. It's cold here. You're in New Orleans, though, right?
I am, but it's uncharacteristically cold here, too. It does that thing where every other weekend is cold.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those.
There we go. One
of those deals.
You know, and in case you couldn't tell... we are not interviewers, but we are doing an interview episode. I know, like, I'm not Connie Chung, okay? I'm not Barbara Walters. I'm not Oprah.
I'm Oprah.
Oh, you're Oprah.
I'm Oprah, though.
Good. So, David...
Well, I'm flattered to be the exception, so thank you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we started talking about the weather, so only up from here. David,
the hard-hitting questions.
We're here for the hard-hitting questions. Number one, are you single?
I am, habitually.
Okay, great. Well, good. See?
All the time.
That was a hard-hitting question right there. So you work in a lot of different fields in film. We have your IMDb pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
So what... is your like primary thing in film? Because you have a lot. You've like every category of like writer, director, actor, script supervisor. I don't even know what other ones are. You have a lot of them. What is your primary like source of income from film?
So it's funny you ask that. When you did the podcast, when I listened to the podcast for Did I Kill My Mother, when you guys brought up my name at some point, and I was terrified about what you were about to say about me. And then one of you pulled up my IMDb and saw the credits, and what you guys kind of figured out hit the nail on the head perfectly. So I started as an assistant director and segued into script supervising,
okay,
which has been the bulk of my credits are in script supervision.
Yeah.
I've always been writing, not professionally until recently. And I, of course, always wanted to direct. My rationale for going into assistant directing and script supervising is that they're two on-set excellent vantage point from which to watch directing in particular, but really every aspect of filmmaking, and then just steal things.
And so that's
why I've done those things. And now my mentality is, the past year financially was probably a 50-50 split between writing, directing, and script supervising.
Yeah.
But for the future, I still plan between every project I direct, I want to script supervise at least one, just to keep my head out of my own ass and just keep stealing shit from people.
So what is a script supervisor? Do you like hold the script and like make sure no one touches it? That's what I think it is.
Basically, once the script is done, the writer brings it to set and then leaves it in like a play area. And if left unsupervised, the script can run away. And I make sure that doesn't happen.
That's what I thought.
Is it like, no, that's not the line?
Oh, yes.
So I would say that the simplest description of a script supervisor's job is to protect the editor against all of the things that happen on set to ruin the movie.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So the obvious example is like when the glass teleports between Brad Pitt's left and right hand. I'm the person who's there saying, by the way, in the last take, it was in his left hand. Now it's switched.
Oh, okay.
So it'll complicate to get it.
Continuity,
both physically, making sure that if the actors are ad-libbing, at least it still makes sense within the context of the script.
Right.
Making sure when we shoot one side, if they say, how are you? Then on the other side, when we turn around, they say good and not much, as if they'd asked what's up. So it's protecting and making sure that everything we shoot can cut together in a cohesive way.
Yeah.
Is the job.
That is a different type of brain that has to do that, you know? Because you're like, I'm an actor and I just want to be in the moment. And you're like, no, actor. No.
Yeah, it's anal, frankly. It's very anal, but it's also forward thinking about how the cut is going to go together.
Right.
Because what I don't want to do, what I hate to do, is bother an actor and restrain them unnecessarily when it's not going to matter. It's not going to affect the cut.
Right.
So it's a lot of tact and just like on the spot decision making about what's important and what isn't.
Cool.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, this makes sense why you are now moving towards directing, because you directed the Lifetime movie, Did I Go My Mother?
Mm-hmm.
And you also wrote that movie, right?
So yeah, I was a writer on it.
Okay.
There were that script was around for a long time and went through some massive, massive changes.
Oh yeah.
So I first read a copy of that script before I directed anything. It was 6 years ago. Then when I was called to direct this movie, I was sent an extremely different version of that script. And this is maybe 2 years ago now. I was sent a very different version of that script. And part of me being hired on was that I would also rewrite it for a bunch of reasons. Not to discredit any of the work that any of the previous three writers did.
Three people wrote this script before you got your hands on it?
So I don't recall the name of the original writer.
Was it me?
It was you. You wrote the script.
Okay.
And then you.
And then I did. And then you did. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there was an original version of it that changed dramatically. And then shortly before me, two writers named Emily Wilson and Marcy Holland, who were both wonderful. And Emily's a director in her own right. And they mostly do Christmas movies.
Oh, okay.
So, they did a rewrite, which I then did a final pass on for a lot of reasons, practicality of our shooting locations and cast changes and all sorts of things. But so I did a final pass. I will take credit for more of the dialogue than anything else and blame, as the case may be.
We don't know. I'm sure it was great.
I'm sure it was fine.
I'm sure it was fine.
It's how people talk to each other.
Yeah. Because the thing is, like, we watch these Lifetime movies, okay? And they, like, we watch a ton of them, like, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So they all kind of blur together. So when you were, like, saying you listened to the podcast, I'm like, oh, my God, what did I say? Because sometimes I say very terrible things. But this one, it wasn't that bad at all. I was just, like, the title was very funny. The title's my favorite title ever. Did I Kill My Mother?
Laughing hysterically listening to that podcast.
So question for you, how did you come across the podcast? Like, what, like, did someone like say, hey, this podcast is talking about you,
this podcast talking shit on you, dude?
Right.
So yeah, a college friend sent me a link with no explanation whatsoever said, hey, I found this podcast you might like, and sent me a link to that episode.
That's funny.
And I clicked on it, planning to listen to 5 minutes and then politely tell them, thank you. And obviously, I then had to think, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, I mean, we are too, because it's like, oh, we're not just talking into open air, you know?
Yeah.
You never know who's listening. I mean, like, Queen Latifah might be listening. Hey, Queen Latifah.
Hey, girl.
I'm sure she is.
She's probably done a Lifetime movie in her time. She has.
Has she? Yeah, she has.
She has.
Yeah.
Totally has. Speaking of Lifetime, did you intentionally make Did I Kill My Mother for Lifetime? Or was that something Lifetime, like, bought along the way? You know?
So, yeah. So it was deliberately made with Lifetime in mind. Without getting too complexly into their, like, acquisition process.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Some Lifetime originals they make on their own, and Lifetime is there on set approving every decision or not.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, and in fact, I think the majority of them, are pre-approved by Lifetime, then shot by outside companies, and usually they sell them overseas as well. And once they're completed, Lifetime watches it and then says yes or no, they're going to air it or not.
Oh, okay.
So,
right. So this was one of the latter. Like, Lifetime had approval over the title, and they approved concepts, and like casting was done with Lifetime in mind. But then once it was complete, Lifetime then acquired it and aired it on their movie network and then on their proper network.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense then. So there's like, there are like Lifetime made Lifetime movies.
Right.
And then, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like probably.
Now you said, you mentioned offline or off air, if you will, that this was not the original title.
No, when we were shooting it, the shooting title of this movie and the title on the script for years was My Mother's Murder.
Okay.
Better title.
That makes
better title.
It makes total sense.
makes however, complete sense.
Once we'd shot it, and I was, my involvement in post on this movie was relatively minimal. I delivered a director's cut, and then I was off working on other things, but I got a call at some point that said, by the way, we're calling the movie Did I Kill My Mother? No, you know what? I didn't get a call. I was sent a poster.
Oh, no.
I was sent a poster with that title on it. I said, what is this? And they said, oh, that's the new title. What do you think of it? And I'm fine by me. It doesn't make sense, but sure.
Sure, man. Whatever. So you just got a poster, and you're like, why the fuck do I have this poster?
Right. Like, this isn't the movie that I did.
Is there a sequel already? That's amazing.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah. Did I kill my mother again?
Again? Nope.
Did I kill my stepmother, Julia Roberts?
Still didn't. Didn't kill your mother.
No, didn't kill your mother. I'd love to sit in that board meeting that happened, and they were like, oh, wait, what was the original title you said?
My Mother's Murder?
My Mother's Murder.
Like, okay, My Mother's Murder. What do we think, everyone? And everyone at Lifetime's like, it could be better. Let's brainstorm. And someone's like, did I kill my mother? Like, that's it?
That's the one.
Good job, Kiki. Good job.
I imagine someone went to a shopping mall, picked out 10 random people, and asked each of them, which would you watch? My Mother's Murder or Did I Kill My Mother?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And they went... that second one's a question, so it needs an answer. I'd watch that
because it has
you're right, questions are better, I think. Yeah, I like that.
Exactly.
I like it.
But you just ask any question, then, like, it has nothing to do with the movie,
right? Do you like pancakes?
Will you eat pancakes?
It would be, do you like sweet potato fries?
Oh my gosh, yes, the sweet potato fries. I forgot about that. Why sweet potato fries? Was that like, do you like sweet potato fries, David?
Not at all. And here's the truth of that, which was the funniest thing to me that you guys honed in on that, as you should. In the original script I got, sweet potato fries were mentioned like 3 or 4 times. Uh-huh. And I asked, I said, why, what is the plot significance of the sweet potato fry?
Yes.
And I was told, well, it's a signifier of her relationship with her mother. The mom likes them and she likes them and they ate them together. And so now it's sweet to bring them up. And the Lifetime audience will find it really endearing. And I shrugged and said, okay, but if we're going to do this, we're going to double down. And so I added sweet potato fries. I told the prop master to have sweet potato fries on hand at all times. So we could sneak them into the background for shots that don't.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was utterly. The joke on set was, did sweet potato fries kill my mother? And that's what they were going to find. Yeah, that was going to be the alternate ending. Is she choked on the sweet potato fries and collapsed in the kitchen?
Oh my god! Whoa, that's deep. That's deep.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Just like, you know what?
We're
just going to put more in there.
See, but that's what's fun is that you guys are having fun on set. And we're having fun talking about these movies, obviously. So it's like everybody's having fun. We all know what's going on with these Lifetime movies. Like they're just like,
we get it. Everything. Yeah. I mean, that's what, like, when we're, you know, when we're pouring it up or putting a cork in it, it's not because, like, where you're like, oh, I poured it up because this was a great movie, a great film. You know, it's just like, no, this was a Lifetime movie. They did it correctly.
They fit the genre of what a Lifetime movie is.
Because I have, well, David, I have points because I don't watch them. I'm not allowed to. Patrick just explains them to me. So, but what, like, what I get out of it is like, there are points.
Like, did you hit the tropes?
Did you hit the tropes? Like, did
sure,
you,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Was there a, like, was there a flower fight in a
Christmas
movie?
That's on Hallmark. That's
right.
On Hallmark.
That's a Hallmark. Yeah. But, don't, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what's funny is first off, I have no, like, you know, relationship with Lifetime beyond the fact that they've been wonderful to you know, pick up these movies that I've done.
Yeah.
Right.
That said, I've not to disparage Lifetime, I've never been a fan, though. I've never watched a ton of Lifetime movies.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still, the first one that I was hired to direct, I immediately sat down and watched, like, 30 of them, mm-hmm. just to understand what the audience that likes these movies like.
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, I still very rarely turn on a Lifetime movie unless I'm a friend of people that directed it or worked on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That said, when for me, making a movie, and making a Lifetime movie in particular, like, what I love to do is just sneak in things and, like, put in things that are fun and rewarding to the people who might not normally watch this kind of movie. So I'm a big fan of, like, randomly hiding shit in the background, like, making bizarre, you know, like, that's, references to other things that don't relate.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It keeps it fun. It keeps it fun for me on set, and keeps it fun for me listening to podcasts about it later.
Sure. Yeah. Speaking of podcasts, about it later. That's my segue. Deal with it. So on the podcast, when we were talking about the movie, Bev and I, Bev Bailey, LA actress, you should hire her, by the way. She'll kill me if I don't mention that. So David, please hire Bev Bailey. She's very short and blonde, and she's a very good actress. She's great. That's not my point, though. My point is, we were very excited about Stephen Coletti being in the movie. So my question would be, is Stephen Coletti as handsome as he is in person?
Stephen Coletti is more handsome in person.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
Than on screen. Once he was cast, we had to, like, just deliberately shoot him as badly as possible.
He's too attractive.
Oh, really? you had to ugly him up a bit?
Yeah, Stephen is a good-looking guy, and he's very, very charming. And he was wonderful to work with on the shoot. But, yeah, he looks great in real life.
Okay, good to know. Thanks. Thanks for verifying that for me.
Here's the thing, though. About Coletti, I found out that he was a reality TV star from you.
Really?
I had no idea. I knew about One Tree Hill.
Yeah.
And his name came up, and I watched some of his stuff, and he seemed like a great option, and we talked to him and brought him on. I had no idea. I'd heard of Laguna Beach. I didn't even know it was a reality show.
Yeah.
Until you guys were talking about it, and it blew my mind. I had no idea that he had had non-acting life.
Well, good. I mean, we're here to break ground and inform everyone about people's past. and, you know, Laguna Beach probably was a little scripted, so he probably was acting, you know?
Yeah. Well,
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should get him on the podcast and ask him about that. but we don't do interviews, okay? We are not Tyra Banks. We are not Wendy Williams. All right? We are not Kelly Ripa. Have I run out of interview people?
Did you? I think that's it.
Hoda Kotb.
Those are the only ones.
Okay, good. Katie Couric. I'm not her. David.
Yeah, absolutely.
So... I don't know if I have any more questions. Drew, do you have any more questions?
I mean, I just have, like, a lot, like, I'm always picture. You're confirming a lot of things for us here.
Yeah. You're, like, the director who we want to be working on Lifetime, you know?
Right.
You're totally, like, everything in a director we want, because, like, you get the genre, you're putting in things for Drew to find fun, you have writing chops, you have all the other job chops. Sounds good,
and
right?
I just, like, so is it... I always picture some of these Lifetime movies as, like, they're made in, like, they give you, like, 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
To make them. Like, it feels like sometimes it feels like it'd be, I always make the joke of having, like, something is in the shot that is weird or something, and, like, they don't care. Just, like, next scene. Like,
that is, like, that
we have
is
to do this
so,
shit.
That is so close to being accurate. So we shot this movie in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. And we shot it in, we had a 12-day shooting schedule.
Wow.
Which is absolutely insane.
That's crazy. That's bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is nuts. And which is a huge testament to the cast for being prepared and being ready, mm-hmm. and to the crew who all have done movies that are much bigger in terms of scope and budget and everything. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge testament to them for being so adaptable and so, you know, so on their toes. Because it is, I mean, it's a sprint. Once you start, you're knocking out 8 or 9 pages a day.
Wow.
Which is not insane compared to episodic television. But television, they're shooting on sets that they've already built. They know how to light them. Like, everything's already predetermined. Compared to most movies, I mean, that schedule is half of what even low-budget movies tend to shoot with.
Right. Yeah, no, that's...
And that's is that pretty standard for like a TV movie? Like,
yeah, TV, I mean, 12 is right about towards the bottom end of the scheduling spectrum. I mean, I think there are some that do it in 10, but typically what you see for TV movies is around 3 weeks. So it's 15 days is fairly common now, and it's getting more and more common as digital takes over and just the workflow gets more and more streamlined.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a mad dash, which I kind of love. Like, I love a small project where everyone knows each other and everyone's in it together.
Yeah.
It's a great sense of, like, camaraderie comes from it rather than a 60-day slog.
Yeah, it would have to be to do it that fast. It'd mm-hmm. just be like everyone would have to just be super adaptable to, you know, like any kind of change, any sort of changes or anything that need to happen.
Right.
God, you just gotta be like okay, pick it up. No.
Yep.
Move the lights. Okay, we gotta go over there.
Yeah. Oh, when you are like being a director on set, are you like how we do on the podcast and we just like yell things off camera?
No, on this one in particular, we shot a lot at a hotel where the rooms were relatively small. And we had like the voice of God set up. I had a microphone 2 rooms over where our video village was.
Oh yeah.
And there was a speaker in the room so that if, you know, rather than running, just we didn't have time to run 3 doors down or wait till the next take. I mean, absolutely. I was all things in during a take. But that said, the cast we had were on point. They were all professionals and all very prepared. So the amount of yelling at them I had to do was next to nothing, which I'm, you know, eternally grateful for.
Can I do a reenactment of what I think happened on set? I'm going to be you.
And please then do.
Drew will be Stephen Coletti. Okay.
Stephen Coletti!
Yeah, that's me.
Stop being so attractive on set!
Okay, sorry.
Okay, roll it.
Okay.
Or action.
Okay. Okay, how was that? Was that accurate?
I was on point. I was exactly right.
That was exactly what happened.
You know, yeah, I had a feeling.
And he's like, oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
It was good that we had him, too, because there's a bit in there, because Lifetime, there has to be some romantic element.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the woman's mom died yesterday,
right?
She's got to be finding new love, you know, in the wake of tragedy immediately.
Of course,
yeah, that's how it happens.
And since the only male character of her age in the movie is doing something insanely creepy, which is basically stalking her to exploit her for journalistic purposes,
sure.
The fact that he's Stephen Coletti makes it plausible that she somehow still lets her guard down.
Yeah.
And is interested in him immediately.
True,
I could see that. Yeah, because that makes sense. It makes complete sense.
Right.
It's like, no, I would.
Yeah.
I'd be interested. I'm not even gay. I'm like, dude, let's go. Let's go on a date. I don't even care.
Don't even care. Oh, Drew, you do love that man.
Yeah, I do.
So, David, what's next for you? Are you doing any more Lifetime movies coming up, or are there any in the docket? Like, can we like put in a good word for you with Lifetime?
So I've written some others or done rewrites on some others, which are out and about with folks elsewhere.
Okay. Cool.
I have no idea which of those will be next from them. Mm-hmm. From me, I've got some other writing projects moving toward other people, including a couple of TV pilots, which I can't say much about, but fingers are crossed.
Cool.
Yeah, high hopes and expectations there. And then in script supervising world, I script supervised a Blumhouse horror film just recently.
Oh, okay.
With Octavia Spencer in it and a couple other phenomenal actors.
Yeah.
So you've written some horror.
I have. Yeah, I've written.
I write. Well, it was a short, the Eye Candy.
Oh, actually.
I saw that on there.
Yeah, it was funny. I was in prep on my first Lifetime. So I've done two Lifetime movies. I did Did I Kill My Mother, and I did a movie called A Deadly Affair.
That's right. Yeah, okay.
And when we were in prep on A Deadly Affair, one of our producers came to me and said, hey, I've got these people who are looking for like 1 minute long horror short film.
Okay, that's awesome.
Can you write some? And I said, yeah, sure. And then he went to the gym and he came back to the office. And I said, okay, here's eight.
Yeah, because they're 1 minute.
And yeah.
They're one page each. I mean, and so he took those eight, and I think three of them were then shot.
Nice.
By different directors and released through, what is the name of it? It's not Shudder, but one of these like horror streaming online services.
Right.
Uh-huh. That was one of the weirdest writing jobs ever. It came out of nowhere. Yeah, and lasted all of 2 hours.
Hey.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
Well, David, wonderful, wonderful. We're so happy that you found us and you're on the podcast.
Thank you.
Great guest all around. Great first interview.
Yeah, I think we did all right, didn't we?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would pour it up.
Well, yes. You know, maybe we're like a Ricky Lake or a Sally Jesse Raphael. Maybe a Jenny Jones.
Maybe a Maury.
Oh, I'm only listing women interviewers. Maury, yeah, totally Maury.
It was more like a Maury Povich.
Right, sure, yes. You are not the father.
Boom.
See what I did there?
Yep.
Okay.
No. Exactly like
it. Did I kill my mother? Anyways, so this is the time where we plug things. So, David, you can go first. What would you like to plug at the pluggy time?
Oh, my God, I have no idea. I have no clue.
Social media account?
I am on Twitter. I'm at David_Bush. But what you're going to see there is just an endless, endless, endless string of puns.
Perfect.
That's what Twitter's for.
That's what I thought Twitter was for in the first place.
Well, it's that, and it's the apparently. I don't know how clearly my sarcasm is going to read. I was going to call it the only viable news source.
It is.
But right. Aggressively, it's, sarcastically.
It is. It's yes. The only thing that I go to for news.
Right.
Yeah. What can you trust? Twitter. That's it.
Twitter. That's all.
Okay.
Wikipedia. Twitter. That's it.
Yeah. So that's I guess that's my plug of okay. myself.
Wonderful. Drew, how about you?
Well, you know, you can find me at Drew But With Pants on Instagram. And also, I'm in a band called The Limbos, and check it out on Spotify and all the other places that you find music.
And podcasts, because the podcast is on Spotify.
Yeah, we're on Spotify now.
So that's great.
Took us forever.
It took us forever, but we're there. You can follow me at Patrick Miguel, other podcast at Lifetime in Court. David, thanks again for being here. And that's it. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.